everyone. You're listening to Trailblazers, the AFL's official women's football podcast. I'm Nat Edwards, and I'll be with you over the next 20 minutes or so as we talk all things footy. We had fantastic feedback after our first episode, so thank you for joining us. Again, I have two guests in the studio with me today. I'm very excited about this. We've got Western Bulldogs defender Phoebe McWilliams and Melbourne midfielder Alicia Eva. Welcome, ladies.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Are you both well this morning?
Very well. I have my coffee, my breakfast. I'm feeling good.
Pumped up and ready to talk some footy. Now, in a moment, we are going to go through a preview of this weekend's games in the AFL Women's Exhibition Series. But I just wanted to recap quickly on the Lions-D's game a couple of weeks ago. Alicia, you played in that one. A massive win. 71 points.
And yeah.
Jess Cameron, 6 goals, if you don't mind.
I know. She was very handy up forward. Obviously, an Australian Test cricketer as well. So, you know, we're seeing lots of kind of dual sportswomen pop up at the moment. And she's just, you know, probably the best example that we've seen in recent weeks. So, yeah, it was the scoreline probably wasn't indicative of, you know, the level of the encounter. The Brisbane girls, obviously coached by Craig Starcevich, were very well drilled. And they had, you know, probably played some of their stars in different positions. For instance, Taylor Harris down back, she'd usually, you know, run around in the ruck or forward. But, you know, they were really well drilled and loved the contested footy. So, we obviously kicked a few more goals and it was a bit of a blowout at the end. But, as I said, the scoreline probably wasn't indicative of the level of encounter that it was. It was a good game.
And we saw a fantastic photo emerge from that game, and it was one of Daisy Pierce getting the face palm to the nose. Is her nose okay? Can you confirm that for us?
I can confirm her nose is okay. I had no idea that she got hit in the face. So, yeah, her nose wasn't stretched across her face, so I think she's all right. And, she pulled up okay.
What did you think of that photo, Phoebe? It was pretty good.
I just thought that's got to hurt. Her entire nose is actually squashed.
Yeah,
against her
it was
face.
Really flat against her face, wasn't it? Well, that was a terrific game and well done to the D's there. But we have two more games coming up this weekend, games 8 and 9, Sunday, June 5. The Western Bulldogs up against Western Australia at Etihad Stadium. That game starting at 12:40 p.m. Of course, a live video stream and radio coverage available on afl.com.au/women's. The other game is in Adelaide, South Australia versus New South Wales, and that game will be broadcast live on Fox Footy, which is fantastic. Again, you can stream it on afl.com.au/women's. Let's start with the Dogs WA game. Now, Phoebe, I know you're not playing this week, but how do you think your teammates will go?
I think it's going to be a really big challenge for them. The Western Australian girls have really improved out of sight over the last couple of years. Last year they beat Victoria in their, I don't know what game that was. It was just
the
like
state
a state game.
Game.
Yeah. And I think that's the first time they've ever beaten Victoria. So they're up and running and they're playing against the Bulldogs. So now the Victorian talent's split between the two teams, so the Melbourne Demons and the Western Bulldogs. You would say that the Bulldogs are maybe a little bit less strong as the team, the Victorian side,
yep,
last year. So they'll have a massive challenge against them. And, yeah, just can't wait to see them play under the roof at Etihad.
Well, it does seem like there is a large talent pool of women's footy in WA, because they're even talking about the fact that they could potentially field two teams in the women's comp next year. Do you reckon that could be possible?
I think it totally could be possible. I mean, you only need to look at this. We'll see how they go on the weekend.
Yeah.
But the strength of their state side, you know, they've got multiple stars across each line. And, you know, if you put them all in the one team over there, for instance, the West Coast Eagles, you know, it's effectively coming up against a full strength side, as opposed to some of the Victorian clubs that will, you know, will be split up come the National League next year. So I think it's definitely an option to consider. Either way, I think both one or two WA sides are going to be really challenging to come up against.
Earlier this year, you guys came up against the Dogs and you lost that game. What are the strengths of the side?
I think skill, just the, you know, skill, foot skills and hand skills. They've got, you know, the likes of Nick Stevens coming off a half back. You know, Kaz Paxman back in the mix. She's just so composed, one of the most composed players I've ever come up against. You know, Meg Hutchins down back, Em Carney back into the midfield. She just injects pace and, you know, a lot of excitement out of the midfield. Katie Brennan up forward as well. Both Em Carney and Katie Brennan didn't play in the first game. So you know, they're both definitely big ins for this weekend. But I think, you know, they've just got skill and pace. And, you know, I think that was the difference in the first game. And Melbourne side was probably a little less inexperienced. But, yeah, they win the contested footy and get it to the outside really quickly and then back their skills in, get the job done on the scoreboard.
What's the key, do you think, Phoebe?
I can't go past Mo Hope. I know she plays on my side in the local league, so I'm a bit biased. But, I mean, she kicked 3 goals in the first quarter against Melbourne earlier this year. Yep. And she's got that X factor. And I don't think there's any defender in Australia that would want to line up against her because she's just unbelievably talented.
Mm. WA, who are the danger players that we need to watch out for?
Well, you've got Juddie, who's going to go through the midfield. And obviously Renee Forth. I think she's just been named as the captain this week. I could be wrong, so don't quote me on that. So obviously their midfield is, there's a lot of skill in there, and they are very good from getting the ball from inside to outside and opening up the bigger ground and using their run and carry. I think down forward, Kira Phillips is like a Mo Hope in that she's a tall player, but once the ball hits the deck, she's really, really hard to match up on because she's quick and she can kick on both sides of her body. So she's a danger player, and I think if they can get the ball in quickly, then the Doggies defenders are going to have their work cut out for them.
A tip from both of you, who's going to win this game?
I would have to say Western Australia, just though.
Yep.
This is a tough one. This is a really tough one. I think this is going to come down to the wire. I'm going to back the Doggies girls in on this one.
Okay, well done, girls. Let's move on to the South Australia New South Wales game, obviously at Adelaide Oval. Now, Phoebe, you're actually travelling to Adelaide to cover this for afl.com.au. How are you going to go putting your journo hat on?
No, I was fortunate enough to get the opportunity to do it for both the South Australia All-Stars game earlier this year and also the Sydney Swans GWS game. So I've seen both of these sides, well, states play, and from both of those games, they've picked the teams for this weekend. So I'm actually really excited to see because I'm not sure who's going to win this one.
Well, how do you see it shaping up? What are the key battles that are going to go on?
Yeah, well, in the Sydney Swans GWS game, I did notice that the Swans had a lot of tall forwards, including Kim Hemenway, who's one of the American imports. But she's not playing in this game, so that'll leave a bit of a hole for them up forward. They've also got a stellar midfield of Nicola Barr, Maddie Collier, and I can't remember the surname. Monique Hollick. Yeah. So in the GWS Sydney game, they were just feeding their forwards all day. So they'll come up against South Australia's. They've also got a really good midfield with Ebony Marinoff, who got 37 possessions in the All-Star game, and she's only 18 years old and apparently dominating at local level as well. So, yeah, it's going to be a pretty even contest, I think.
That's fantastic. Now, Alicia, you're going over as well as part of Fox Footy's commentary team. Are you doing special comments this weekend?
I think I will be, yeah.
Oh, how exciting.
Yeah, it'll be my second shot at it. I went over to WA earlier in the year and called that one. So this one's going to be really interesting. I know, you know, a few of the players from both sides, but obviously coming from regions that, you know, they've thrown a lot of money and a lot of time and development into. I think players have popped up from left, right and centre. So it's going to be, I've got a little bit of research to do, but looking forward to it.
When you did that game in WA, did you call the game or were you doing special comments again?
Yeah, special comments. So
have you had a go at calling a game?
I have.
How'd you go?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. I've got to go in again tomorrow. So into Fox Footy.
Yep.
Just to do another mock call. So we'll see.
It's a great experience, though. But it looks, it's so much harder than it actually
is. It really is.
And you watch them on TV and you're like, yeah, I could do that.
Definitely. And particularly coming from a coaching background as well, I tend to look at what's going on the ground and call the game for, you know, how I see it. Yep. Whereas when you're, you know, commentating for TV, you need to commentate to what the viewers at home are seeing on the screen. So it's interesting, but it was good fun, so I'm looking forward to it.
How do you think you'd go, Phoebe, at calling a game?
I'd be horrible.
Maybe we should put you to the test. All right, so who's going to win this game? A tip from both of you.
I'm going to go New South Wales.
I'm going to go with Phoebe on this one because she's done the research, so.
Easy. New South Wales to win that one, that game at Adelaide Oval. Of course, you can get the match report on afl.com.au. That brought to you by Phoebe, of course. And if you want, Fox Footy if you aren't able to make the game. Now, let's move on to this discussion that we want to have today about the trial rules. Now, 2 weeks ago in the Melbourne Demons game, Melbourne Lions game. There were some rules that were trialled, and this is going to happen again this weekend. I'll just take our viewers quickly, our listeners quickly, through some background. So basically, Deakin University has been collating and analysing some data from the women's games already played this year, and they want to know whether women's footy can, I guess, be enhanced for players and fans and, I guess, make it more entertaining. So the AFL, I'm guessing, will be looking very, very closely at these trials. We had Simon Lethlean in last week on our podcast, or a couple of weeks ago, and he said the league was considering changing some rules for the upcoming women's national women's competition next year, but he wasn't really sure what those rule changes would entail. So I guess this trial is going to give them a better idea of what to look out for. So the three rules that are being trialed: the last touch out of bounds, so whichever player touches the ball last from a kick or a handball over the boundary line, the opposition will be awarded a free kick into play. Now, this is being trialled at the moment in the SANFL. The second rule is the straight 20-minute quarters. That's pretty standard. And the third, density philosophy, which basically means that two forwards must always be in the forward 50 at all times, and a further five must set up in their forward half following a stoppage. Now, this is actually used at TAC Cup level. Mm-hmm. Now, I know, Alicia, you're obviously working with the Calder Cannons in the TAC Cup. How have you seen that rule in particular brought in?
Yeah, it's an interesting one because I think if people, you know, if your regular Joe Blow off the street went and watched a TAC Cup game, they probably wouldn't actually realise that this rule is in place. So I think that's really important to say at the beginning. It's not a rule that's being brought in just for the women.
Yep.
Obviously, working at TAC Cup, I have seen this rule in play, and it's there because the TAC Cup is a development league, and the goal of the TAC is to get kids drafted.
Yep.
And in order for kids to get drafted, they've got to display their skill. Now, the reason being the reason they bring in this high density rule is because we want to avoid congestion. You want to avoid hundreds of numbers around the footy, let the ball get out cleanly. And obviously congestion's a part of the game. It's going to be, it's going to happen, but it's that rule is in place to ensure that we're not just flooding numbers around the footy and it becomes a game of rugby. So at TAC, the rule isn't, stringently looked upon by umpires.
Yeah, because how do you monitor that? Is there a free kick if you don't, like, if you don't have five players set up in the forward half following a stoppage? Like, is there a penalty?
I've never seen a free kick be awarded. And obviously there's a little bit of ambiguity around, you know, if all the defenders push up, what do the forwards then do? So it's more of a coaching philosophy.
Okay.
There's an agreement that At every stoppage, there will be forwards inside the forward half, and it is monitored by the general managers of each TAC Cup club. And I know, you know, at times when players have crept forward and it is turning into a bit of a mess, we might get a knock on the coaching box door from the opposing team's general manager and vice versa. So, it's one. I think the coaches kind of get a smack on the wrist if they're not doing the right thing, and the onus is on them.
Okay.
So, but it is important to remember that it's not a rule that has just been brought in for this, but it's to open up. And I am not adverse to the rule because I've seen it in action, and I think it will really showcase women's footy if there is, you know, a little bit more time and space and we're not throwing hundreds around the ball.
Did you find it hard to adjust to, or did your teammates find it hard to adjust to a couple of weeks ago when it was brought in?
No, I don't think so, because it's at stoppages when you need to have five players in the forward half. So I was running around in the forward line in the first half of last week, so I was kind of pulling numbers back where I could. And it also, you know, if you've got a, structures can be designed, your forward line structures can be designed to to work with this rule, so to speak. So as long as you've just got communication out on the field and you've got some leaders putting their hands up and drawing players back, I don't think there was much confusion. And obviously when the ball's there to be won, it's not like there's a line there that you can't cross. Obviously go and win the footy. And then in a stoppage, you just got to pull everyone back. And it's not that big of a deal when you were playing, and I don't think many people would have noticed.
Phoebe, you watched that game. Did you notice that there was maybe less congestion out on the field?
I did notice that the game was a bit more free-flowing, but I'm not sure if that was because of Melbourne's dominance.
Yeah, well, it was a big win, wasn't it?
Yeah. But I didn't notice the difference with the rules there. And same with the out-of-bounds rule. I only saw that happen maybe two or three times, which wasn't really, it didn't really have a massive effect on the game because the ground was so large.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
How do you feel about the rule changes? Would you just prefer to play footy like you've always played?
Obviously that would be preferred because that's what we've played all our lives. But I think I'm just a bit cautious as a defender and a forward, that the defenders don't have to remain in their back 50, and so they could run off their forwards. And I'm not sure how that would work with an upfield press, with the forwards having to stay back in their 50.
The last touch rule is an interesting one because I know the AFL is looking at that as well in the men's game as a potential rule change for next year. We look at some of the stats from the SANFL, and it's been going on for most of the season. Boundary throw-ins in the SANFL are actually down 37%. Goal scoring is up 10% and congestion is down to this point of the season. So obviously the AFL is monitoring that closely and they probably like what they see. Do you like the last touch rule, Alicia? I can tell you right now, I don't.
Yeah. I mean, when we were playing it last week, to be honest, I actually had forgotten about it.
Yeah,
I didn't.
Right.
You know, a couple of times I just thought the umpires were being a little bit strict about deliberate out of bounds. But adopting the new interpretation,
yes,
of course. So I had forgotten about it until about half time when someone reminded me. But in all honesty, because the MCG is so big, it didn't actually happen all that much. Obviously, if you were playing on smaller grounds, we don't know what's going to happen with the grounds next year, I wouldn't like it, wouldn't like it at all. But to give you an honest answer, I didn't really notice it all that much on the
It was the first time, so maybe at Etihad it might be a little bit different this week, and we'll watch. I mean, Adelaide Oval's quite a large oval as well, so it'll be interesting to see what would happen, as you say, at a smaller ground. Any problems with the straight 20-minute quarters?
That sounds good to me.
Oh dear. Well, do you think with the boys at the younger level, the tack club level, obviously with the density of philosophy rule, do you think that actually makes it harder for them then to step up into the AFL and they don't have that rule anymore? Is there an issue with transition, or it doesn't really make a difference?
I think it probably does make a difference in that you know, there's a lot more congestion around the football. All of a sudden, you've got, instead of, you know, three or four players in a 20-metre radius, you might have a whole pack of, you know how they play these bubbles and presses and whatnot. And then skills become that much more important. And instead of having a couple of seconds to release, like you might in TAC Cup, obviously you've got to think and play a lot quicker. But in saying that, you see a lot of these drafted kids adjust fairly easily. So I don't think there's a major difference that people need to be worried about with this rule. But obviously I can see why the AFL are trying, are putting forward ideas, because women's football, they want to make it attractive, and obviously there are some very, very skillful players and we want to showcase that.
Yeah,
so I can understand the logic in it completely.
You must be both obviously excited about the National Women's Comp coming in next year. Still undecided how many teams we're going to have at this point. But what do you each want to see from that competition? I'll start with you, Phoebe.
Having watched the Brisbane Lions Melbourne game, it's just such a great spectacle to see the girls out there in the AFL jumpers, and this is our dream. We've grown up wanting to play AFL, and seeing that become a reality, it's something that I know that the behind the scenes have been working on for 10 years, and this is finally happening, and it's just really exciting. I just want to see girls out there enjoying their footy and playing good footy that's, it's good to watch and having a good time and providing role models for younger girls to come through and be like.
Fantastic. What about you, Alicia? What do you want to say?
Ooh, what do I want to say? I want to say just get off the ground. It's a really exciting time for women's footy. And I suppose because we are talking about rules today, I would like to see it model the AFL as closely as possible. Mm. Obviously, there's going to be a little bit, there are going to be changes here and there, but girls are now coached to play exactly the same rules as the boys. As the boys are, and you know, coach the same teachings and philosophies. So if we can, if it can stay as closely the same as AFL, that'd be fantastic. And yeah, I just want to see lots of people get around it. It's going to be so fun.
Well, get around the girls playing this weekend, Sunday, June 5. The Bulldogs up against WA at Etihad Stadium. That game starting at 12:40 p.m. South Australia takes on New South Wales at Adelaide Oval at 12:35 p.m. You can catch that live on Fox Footy. Otherwise, both games will be streamed on afl.com.au/women's, and look out for Phoebe's match report as well. Thank you both so much for coming in today. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Good luck on the weekend with your reporting and broadcasting special comments. We look forward to hearing that. To keep in touch with all the latest news, follow at AFL Female on Twitter and use the hashtag Journey to 2017. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you again soon.